Welcome. You're listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay and MuskokaUnlimited.com. Thanks for listening. We have a great guest to chat with today. Let's get right into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our show. It's MuskokaUnlimited.com and the Muskoka Unlimited podcast and 88.7 FM The Bay and all the stuff I have to get through to get to my real talking.
The whole preamble.
Giving all the shout outs where they're due. Welcome back to the show, Dick Fairthorne II. If you didn't listen to the first show we did with Dick, you need to go back. You can download and listen to it from my website. You can listen to it online on my website. I'm on SoundCloud. If you're on SoundCloud, you can listen to it there. Check it out. We had some really interesting discussions about all kinds of wonderful things. I'm not even going to go into it. You just go and listen because you want to hear it. Dick, we were talking about social media as the last thing. I wanted to talk about social media with you, and there was one thing that I did a giant laughy face, but I didn't comment on, that you said, right now, the world and Facebook or social media has 5,000 white people trying to tell me what racism is all about. And I did a laughy face because I know your sense of humor, and I thought that was hilarious.
Right.
And part of why it was funny is because it was true.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I just want to thank you for holding me accountable for ridiculous stuff I say online. If I recall the context of the post, I think it was after the violence and the riots started in the U.S. and after also the peaceful protests. Of course, I shouldn't pretend that those don't exist. They do. But I think what happened is because people get so polarized over this stuff. I rode my motorcycle to Peterborough. I went to a grocery store I'd never been to. And, you know, people would come up to me and start just telling me how they support... I saw the look on your face, too. So, okay. They support George... I want to say Floyd. Is it Floyd?
Floyd, yeah. Right?
And, you know, my view is... Yeah, cops murdered a guy. Of course. Murder's bad. Why are you telling me about it again? So that was what happened in the real world. But there's also this online reaction that it's the only thing that we can talk about online.
Yeah.
So I started logging in and I would see nothing. And it wasn't all white people, of course.
But it was everybody.
I was being hyperbolic.
Yeah.
But it felt like a ton of people who don't experience the problem directly were trying to tell me that I was wrong about how I feel about it. And I know that I don't feel the same way that probably 80% of black people feel. I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm all entitled to have my own view
on it. Sure you are.
You know? I'm of the camp that I'm not sure this was a racially motivated killing.
Yeah.
I also am of the belief that I think something really dramatic needs to be done about it, but I don't think that it needs to be done in a racialized way.
Yes.
Can I talk about my view on what should be done about them?
You're allowed to. You're entitled to your opinions.
I don't generally support the death penalty.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, I think that there should be a policy change. And by the way, no one's proposing policies. We need to be proposing real policy solutions. This might be considered really extreme, but I think that we should consider having capital punishment for police officers who commit and are found guilty of murder in the line of duty. Because you've created this incredible amount of power.
Yes.
A person who's being murdered by a police officer cannot retaliate or defend themselves. If they were to try and do so, then they risk... You know, they basically have to say to themselves, am I about to be murdered?
Yes.
Do I risk going to jail for the rest of my life?
Yes.
Or do I risk
getting killed?
It's an impossible situation. At some point, we got to say, yes, we've given police officers extreme power. We have to give them extreme accountability.
Yes.
And it's hard to prove murder.
It is. So hard.
It's very hard. So truthfully, hard. Most police officers would go free. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe not go free, but would not receive this maximum punishment.
Yeah.
But if this punishment were available or even mandatory for when they are found guilty, there would be so much fear that anyone who was sitting there considering killing someone just because or killing someone. Why do police officers kill people? Sometimes it's because it's that person or them because of like mob dealings or backhanded, whatever, this and that. They have to know the punishment waiting for them for killing someone might be almost as bad as the punishment for not killing someone.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, I don't generally support the death penalty. Not generally, but I think maybe we should in this case.
Fair enough. I mean,
Something extreme.
And I see these, and speaking about some of the systematic changes, one of my opinions has been, you know, you hear this abolish the police, defund the police, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, first of all, the extremes of that are not going to solve the issue that the police is militarized.
Yeah.
Around the world, not just here, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys don't know, I follow Europe because, you know, my family's from there, and I follow. The police is militarized, hardcore.
Yeah.
And we need to demilitarize the police.
Yeah.
Not abolish them. We need to get them better training. One of the things I said to my wife the other day was, I think police should all go to 4 years of university. They should have one of their majors should be psychology. I think that they need 2 years then of in an internship with a veteran police officer who's never had a citation or problem on or complaint against him or her. And then they should do that internship and learn community policing. Because I tell you, if you are a police officer as part of the community, and we have a couple in this community that are like that, they believe in community policing. They'll talk to people. They'll, you know, they'll engage.
I think I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it.
And what happens is if you know each other.
Yeah.
One, that police officer is less likely to shoot someone they know personally.
Right.
That they don't have a problem with or that they know has showed them respect over the years. Right. Right. They're not going to automatically grab their gun. They're like, oh, I know Joe or I know Tony or I know Michael or whoever, right? You know, I know Dick. I know Chris, right? I know that guy. I'm not going to shoot that. I'm not automatically grabbing my gun on a guy I know.
Yeah.
I'm going in as, how can I know this guy. I can talk to him as a friend. I can calm him down. This can be peaceful, right?
Yeah.
And when you're part of a community, all of a sudden the community rallies around you. There's less hostility. There's less like you said, people getting like worried they might get killed. All of a sudden, if you know a guy well and you know he's respected you and you've respected him.
That is very true.
You're not feeling like he's going to kill me. You're feeling like that's Officer so-and-so. That's Officer Josh. That's Officer whoever, right? Right? Officer Mark, whoever, right? And you go in and you're like,
that's a person. That's a real human being.
And if we demilitarize it and go back to a community policing or in some cases, the first time ever, a community policing mentality, all of a sudden, we are now just one big community and they're law enforcement and we're citizens and they're there to uphold the law. And if I break the law, I'm not afraid for my life.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, that was my thoughts I had. And my wife and I talked about this the other day. And that's what I threw out, you know. I don't know.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that. So I think there's a couple of different problems, but I definitely think community policing as a mentality and a style makes sense. I think there must be some branch of the police department that has some more degree of militarization and some that has some less.
Yes.
But, the guy who's going to pull me over for a speeding ticket, he doesn't need to be in full. He probably needs a weapon to defend himself. It could be a stun gun or a taser or whatever those things are.
Yep.
I don't know. Because he might pull someone over and they might be a really bad person.
Yes.
Right? So they need to be able to protect themselves. But approaching in a way that's friendly and community-oriented, trying to get to know your community, being involved with community events and affairs.
Yes.
Like, I know people that when they see police, they get turned off and they think, oh, damn it, the police are here. I can't be myself. I can't. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you're not doing anything nefarious, we should be able to have a situation where we're happy to see the police who are part of our community coming by and being involved in events or even just
checking things out, making sure everything's okay.
I'm going to leave that there. As far as defunding the police, or at least getting rid of the police, I don't know what the police budget should be. I don't have an ideal target number. Maybe they're high, maybe they're low. But the idea of completely defunding and getting rid of the police, I think, is one of the most idiotic things that I've heard. I don't want to I know there's some people who disagree with me, probably a lot of them. I'm not trying to call you idiots. It just sounds idiotic to
me.
Because at some point, and especially in the United States, because this is the United States where the same party that is arguing for the same party that is arguing for defunding the police is the same party that's arguing against people being able to defend themselves with weapons. And that's a Second Amendment issue.
Yes.
They said the police are supposed to have the weapons. The police are supposed to be able to take advantage of you. So why do we have any need for weapons? Well, that argument doesn't work anymore.
No.
When you take away all the weapons.
It's true. It doesn't.
You know?
We're gonna take a quick break. We'll stay on that note. I'm here, Dick Fairthorn II. Some great conversations, 88.7 FM or on MuskokaUnlimited.com, the podcast. Check us out if you haven't heard us. And if you're just tuning in, stay tuned after this break. All right. Welcome back, everyone. 88.7 FM, The Bay, MuskokaUnlimited.com, all that good stuff. If you don't know us by now, I don't know what your problem is. Anyways.
You know, it's one of the first places I found out about when I moved to Huntsville. Because I got to know the music community around here. Troy Sinister, who I had played with when he was in Toronto.
Yes.
I didn't even know that he lived a block away from me.
That's
and,
awesome.
And we ended up doing some musical stuff together. And,
nice.
You know, it was really fantastic.
That's
fantastic.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Before we go on to some other things, I know for a fact you are talking with 88.7 The Bay to perhaps do a show in the future of your own.
It is true. I'm going through some paperwork and documentation and figuring out if I'm smart enough to understand all the rules that you guys have to follow when you're broadcasting. And, you know, I got to say, one of the first things when I saw the papers was, I'm afraid that by the time I've agreed to everything on these sheets of paper, that there won't be anything that I want to say that I'm allowed to say anymore. Actuality, it's not like that. I think I probably just have to temper bad language. And
that's
avoid.
All it is. So,
yeah, I think it's mostly that. I do get concerned, though. I wonder if any of my opinions are considered hateful.
You know,
I don't think they'd fall quite into hate speech.
No, I don't think they're hateful. I mean,
from online, you would think something different. The reactions I get there.
The problem is...
Yeah.
The problem is nobody... And this is a conversation I had with my dad the other day, who is an immigrant and who is actually quite dark-skinned Southern Italian with curly hair. And when he goes to Mexico, because he's fluent in Spanish as well as three other languages, they all think he's a local Mexican.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, you're talking about a guy who's, you know, looks different, always looked different, but still managed to have this life. And he and I talked about how diversity should be of thought.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm really way about that.
Right. It should be about thought. True diversity means different thought, different ideologies coming together, living together, speaking, understanding, trying to respect each other and not hating each other for having a different idea.
Yeah.
Right. That's diversity. Diversity is not, you know, we move to Canada and you get to live in Little Italy. You get to live in Little Portugal. You live in Chinatown. You live in the black community. You live in the suburb white community in Oakville. You know what I mean? That's not diversity. Diversity is different people with different ideas and different thoughts and different cultures coming together and sharing their experiences and respecting each
right.
other.
Well, I'll tell you, I agree with you about 95% of the way there. And mm-hmm. even the part that I disagree, I think it's really just that it was omitted from what you said.
Okay.
You're mentioning how people sort themselves into these cultural areas. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that people should be allowed to do that if they want to.
If
I don't
want
to take that away from them.
Yeah.
But when you promote diversity of thought, I think we'll find a lot more people listening to each other's ideas about how society functions. And I think we'll find a lot more people deciding not to segregate themselves in those ways.
Yes.
I think it's sort of multicultural versus melting pot thing from when I was a kid.
Yes.
We used to say that a lot. And we always thought that Canada was multicultural and the U.S. was a melting pot. Well, I think that either one of them could be a combination of both, depending on what people feel and believe.
Yes.
The other thing is with diversity of thought, I don't think we should be deluding ourselves into thinking everyone should have an opinion that we like.
Yeah, we shouldn't.
I think that there should be people who have opinions that we hate and disagree with.
Yeah.
And they should feel free to express them so that we know, I don't want to be around that person.
It's
That's
true.
Not a person I like. This thing about loving each other, but it's not real. We don't, I mean, maybe loving is wrong. I love humans.
Yes.
I love people, even if I don't like them.
Yes.
Even if I disagree with nearly everything they say. They still have a right to exist, and they should be able to, think that I don't have a right to exist, but not actually infringe on my right to exist.
Yeah.
Now, I won't like them. I won't want to be around them.
Yeah.
I won't want to have anything to do with them. And I will vehemently argue with them.
Yes.
But I think that diversity of thought includes bad and horrible thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
Because who gets to be the arbiter?
It's true. It's true.
Of what's good and bad. And the answer is the government. And at the end of the day, when the government is being the arbiter of what's good and bad, you end up with a pretty authoritarian setup.
It's
at
true. That point. It's true. Now, speaking of the government, and we're talking about diversity and this and that. No, because I know you have various thoughts about various things. Let's talk about the riots and everything that's happened. I mean, we brought it up briefly, but we didn't talk about it. The Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, I feel it's important. I feel that it's a necessity right now because in some cases there is systematic racism at play.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily all the police. It's more of a socioeconomic thing with that I believe is in play.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes you like people are arguing that the looting's okay and this and that, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the Black Lives Matter movement is not looting and rioting. They're protesting. They've got policy ideas. They've got true thought into what they want to say.
Yeah.
Looting and rioting, I'm kind of this way when it first happened because I thought that was a way to get attention.
Yeah.
But when I see looting, and I know you might agree or disagree, but when I see looting, I can't even say that I can't justify it. I can't agree with it. I don't think anyone who agrees with it is really looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about some of what's gone on there?
Well, so first of all, I want to distinguish between Black Lives Matter as a phrase,
yes.
Black Lives Matter as a group,
yes.
and what they support, which is to say that, of course, I support the idea that Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say all lives matter, even though I did just now.
Yeah.
But of course, Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
I'm not sure how I feel about the group. I've seen some people who are higher ups in the group saying some pretty awful things.
Yes.
And some very anti-police things. And I realize that's part of the message, but I think they're irresponsible about how they say it in some cases.
Okay. Fair enough.
That being said, let's talk about the rioters and the looters.
Yes.
I know that they are separate from the peaceful protesters.
Yes.
In most cases. I think in some cases, some people might have crossed over, and I think it's being provoked and stoked.
Yes.
Right? Looters are looters. People who steal, no one ever woke up in the morning and said, wow, police are really mean to black people. I should get a new VCR. Well, VCR, maybe it's the wrong year for that. MacBook.
you're going back to the 90s.
Well, that's because I've seen it before. We've seen this before. Looting and rioting doesn't help the black community.
It doesn't.
And typically it's happening in places that have higher than normal concentrations of black population.
Yes.
Which often corresponds to higher than normal levels of LGBT community.
Yeah.
So what's happening is we're rioting and looting in communities that are... Wow, I'm really getting riled up about this. We're rioting and looting in communities that are going to mostly or disproportionately have a negative effect on the people who these riots and looting purport to defend.
I know.
It's absolutely preposterous.
I know.
I had something else to say on it, but I actually just got a little riled up.
No, you're allowed to be riled up, and I actually agree with you. I think we're people like us, and I don't mean that we think exactly the same, because like you said, there's some things we disagree on. But we look at both sides of an issue before we develop an opinion.
Yeah.
I looked at this whole looter thing and I'm like, you guys are not the people who are all for this because they're all jumping on the bandwagon.
Right. They haven't thought it out.
And they're like, oh yeah, looters. And I'm like, wait a minute. The looters are stealing from businesses in their own community.
Yeah. Have you seen, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see, I think it was probably during the Rodney King looting.
Oh, the video, yeah.
The video of the old man, and it's a black old man, and he's losing it.
Yeah.
He's lost it.
I saw that one,
And he's saying, I came from here too. I struggled really hard. Yeah, there's no way I can do justice I don't cry very much, and I cried when I saw this video.
Yeah, me too.
It said, I worked my butt off to try and create this. Why rob my truck? Why destroy my computer? Why break into my store?
Yeah.
I was trying to make it too.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all trying to make it. At some point or another, if we can create economic conditions, like there's socioeconomic issues that constantly and continually oppress black people, yeah. and they do it more so than police killings do.
Yes.
Police killings are terrible, especially when they're motivated, excuse me, racially.
Yes.
But they don't do as much harm to the black community as ongoing socioeconomic conditions.
Okay.
And every time that we respond to these types of killings or violence with riots and looting that burn down and destroy buildings in the community, here's what we're creating. We're creating increased insurance costs in those neighborhoods that make it harder for black people to start and run businesses.
Yeah.
Higher requirements for loans that are less likely to be repaid because yeah. the businesses are going to eventually be subject to riots and looting.
Yeah.
Because they had to... wow! I'm getting like a little bit...
We've got like a minute and a half.
Okay, so all
but I've we're gonna keep going.
Okay,
we're gonna do a part three.
Okay,
because I still want to talk about. So keep that thought.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, if you're listening, we're gonna cut it short in a minute because I want Dick to keep that thought. You can listen to part three. It's like a cliffhanger on TV. Instead, you're listening instead of ruining your eyes watching a screen right now. It'll be great. So Dick and I are gonna keep that thought. Because it is an emotional thing, and it's emotional for me too, because when I watch the videos of gentlemen and ladies who own these businesses, who their own community are destroying and stealing from, it drives me crazy. Because they're opportunistic, and they're just there to get theirs, and they're not there for the right reasons. And so we'll come back. We're gonna end it on this. We're gonna end on cliffhanger. Listen to the next show, part three. Dick and Chris hanging out. That could be another show on its own. That could be like another offshoot. We could do a spin-off, as they call them in TV. But anyways, we're gonna be back and we're gonna chat. And so 88.7 FM, MuskokaUnlimited.com. You guys know the routine. Thank you, Dick, for being here. We're gonna be right back. Thank you. You've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay or www.muskokaunlimited.com. Stay tuned for more wonderful episodes on our show.